Bible says in Psalm 119, verses 132 and 133, "Come and show me your mercy, as you do for all who love your name. Guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil." Do you long to overcome the evil that's destroying your life? Today at Refuge Long Beach, Pastor Mike Bonomo is bringing a message from God's word, giving you God's guidance so that you can be victorious over sin and have your eyes open to see the grace and the mercy of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. All this for loving his name. Now let's join Mike.
Way at some point or another, and or maybe a bunch of times, maybe you're there right now, I don't know, but whether it's these experiences out there where we're in an active addiction or early recovery or through these seasons of life or long after we become sober, or maybe you never had an addiction to anything. You don't struggle with that type of stuff. You're just walking out this walk of faith with Jesus and you're doing your thing. Or maybe you're in ministry, you know, and all of its demands and pressures and all these things. And maybe wherever you find yourself today, maybe you've come to realize that our days, our weeks, our months, our years, and some of us, our whole lives are marked with a lot of struggle and pain. Can I get a witness? Heaviness, right? Or to be fair, maybe, you know, some of us, it's just these seasons, right? These waves, right? These waves that seem to come, and these trials that come in waves. And it's hard, right? It's hard. It's not easy. Change and being uncomfortable sometimes, and some of our most challenging and stretching times are necessary for our growth. Everybody's like, what'd you say? Proverbs 24, verse 10, look at verse 10, it says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Where do you get your strength from? Where do you go? I like that. People are pointing up already. What or who is your go-to person or thing to draw upon, to receive from in order to be strengthened or encouraged again when you're discouraged and feeling weary, right? Or just wiped out. When you are fainting, when, you know, what causes you to grow weary, to get tired, or to feel your weakness when it starts showing, right? And you know it's showing. What makes you feel like you're about to faint? Now again, it's Sunday morning, we're here in church, right? We're outside in the park, we're followers of Jesus, right? We know Christ, we're Christians, we have the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to have it together, right? If anybody's got it together, it's us Christians, right? Okay, yeah, right? Everybody's like, you can't say that from the pulpit either. But let's be honest, right? Be honest with yourself and before God. Let's keep it real. When the rubber meets the road, and you're just not sure you can go further, but you know you've got to hang on, we get confronted with the reality, like, I don't have what it takes, man. How strong do you need to be? How strong do you and I need to be when everything threatens to keep us down or to take us out? How strong do we got to be? We just read, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's comforting, right? That's confrontational. That's challenging. That's not cozy. That's not a word of encouragement for me today when I'm down. Right? The Amplified Bible puts it this way. If you are slack, careless in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Okay, Pastor Mike, so now you're just like beating me up saying, you know, I'm just being a punk, I'm a slacker, I'm careless, I'm lazy. What are you saying? No, let me give you some perspective. Let me give you the loose Mike Bonomo paraphrase. Yeah, really loose. If you are so challenged that you're assuming and accepting defeat, if you find yourself ready to just give up when things are hard, it is because your strength is limited. Did you catch that? It is because your strength is limited. This scripture used to cause me to get real introspective and really, you know, just, it actually provoked what I translated as a conviction in me about what an emotionally weak and mentally unstable person I was. I didn't like it. It made me uncomfortable. It made me feel somewhat hopeless at times, like I'd never learned to be strong. Things affected me growing up, like my parents split and divorced when I was super little, and having this broken home and all this family dysfunction, and I know nobody here can relate, but, you know, God wired me emotionally, you know, to feel things deeply, you know what I mean? And I took things so hard. And my limitations and my failures and my shortcomings, they all made me feel inadequate. And so, you know, they messed with my head, man. It just messed with my head. And so I lived on this treadmill of, like, performance-based, like self-affirmation and, you know, the need for acceptance from others. And as I got older, I found it extremely hard to fit in any stinking where. But somehow I ended up fitting in really well in all the wrong places, you know what I mean? All the wrong places with all the wrong people doing all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons. It sounds like a song, don't it? Somebody sing it with me. No. But it, for me, it was like looking for the right place for me in this life. And all the horrible things I got myself into is caused me more pain, more mental and emotional problems. It created this deep inner thirst. Now, that thirst was already there, but it intensified it because somehow that chasm between where I was and where I thought it was supposed to be just seemed to get wider. The pit of darkness and despair seemed deeper, darker, and colder as the years went by. So I sought acceptance and love by joining a gang. And I lived that life, man, of crime and of violence and illegal activity, and had a lust for money, power, respect. And I pushed my weight around, literally. I hurt people. I sold drugs. I partied a lot and I fought a lot. And eventually the alcohol and the drugs took over and sent me down a really dark, lonely path. Okay, anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, a lot of this was before I knew Jesus, right? But guess what? Some of it, and some of the worst of it, was after I came to the Lord. Everybody's like, what? Yeah, I asked him to forgive me of my sins, come into my life, Jesus, you know, and I knew that something had happened. I knew I was different. Something had changed. I believed my faith in what Jesus had done for me on the cross had saved me. I was going to heaven. Praise God, right? But I didn't read the Bible or really come to church for many years. And so I didn't understand about this relationship. We've been talking about this relationship in John 15, abiding in the vine, abiding with him, staying with him, you know, bearing fruit as we walk with him. I didn't get that. And I didn't get the importance of fellowship, what we're doing right now. I wanted to live my life my way. Nobody can relate, right? I wanted to do things my way. And I found myself getting arrested and convicted for some of these crimes. You know, lucky me. And eventually, when I was locked up, I would finally open up and read the Bible after all those years of not doing so. And God had my attention, and he met with me, started radically moving in my heart, and something about me and my whole life was beginning to change. I mean, really, when I did start reading the Bible, I started getting to know God. That's how it works. He was revealing himself to me, meeting with me in his word by his spirit, and he was speaking to me powerfully, and he was breaking me, and he was changing me, and he was transforming me early on, and he was moving in my life and doing all these amazing miracles. Mind you, I was locked up, and then I get out of prison and I try it on my own again, and before long, no Bible, no church, no direction, no structure, and rebelling against the accountability. Add sexual addiction, a few unhealthy, toxic relationships. You know, I would turn to the alcohol and to the drugs to cope with all the heartaches and stress, and sprinkle in a little physical exhaustion, and you know, you got a train wreck, a hot mess. And so things got real bad, real bad. And I would go back and forth, in and out of prison, and on and off the streets. I was a mess. But behind bars, I would get close to the Lord again. It was like, you know, being big boy timeout. You know, you're going big boy timeout again, Mike. You know, you're running amok. Let me put you over here. And I'd get close to him again. I'd walk with him. I'd get out, and I'd be off and running again. There I go. And even though I knew I'd suffered negative consequences of those poor choices, I just wasn't willing to face any of my adversity head on. When I should have known that I could have taken my burdens, I could have taken my pain and my shame and my weaknesses to the throne of grace. Right? Because the Bible says to come confidently there to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Right? Paul said, for the believer, if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? He said, you know, Jesus said, I'm with you even to the end of the age. I'm with you. Okay? Because, you know, because he didn't fix my problems overnight. And I'm talking about, because there were times when he would allow me to experience pain. Amen. Because there were, you know, he didn't appear like a genie out of a lamp, grant me my three wishes and all that noise, you know, and do what I wanted him to do. Jesus, you know, don't you know, you need to do this. Because he had plans that were contrary to my plans, right? Can I get an amen? I didn't listen to him. I turned from him. I turned away. I ran from him. And it got me, guess where? Nowhere. Oh, he got me somewhere, but nowhere good, right? I lost my family. I lost the homies. I lost touch with all that I knew was good in life, right? I lost myself. So this caused my heart to faint even more. Wanting to just throw in the towel. Figuring, you know, I figured happiness just, that just ain't my future. I'm too foolish. I'm not strong enough. To endure all that life's throwing at me and all that it's going to throw my way. I'm just not that guy. You know, it's going to continue to dish out all these crazy things to me, and I just can't hack it. And I figured I'd have to die in order to experience some peace and rest. That was my thinking. But somehow I knew that the answer was almost hidden in the verse. If you're there, look at it again. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. My strength, your strength is small. If you faint, it's because your strength is small. My strength on my best day always was and still is, it's worthless. So is yours, my brothers and sisters. Sorry to break it to you. I don't have what it takes to break free from addiction. I don't have what it takes to rise above heartache and internal struggle and torment and my outward circumstances. On my own, I faint in the face of adversity every single time. And left to yourself, newsflash, so do you. Why? Why? Because my strength, like the verse says, is insufficient. But Jesus said what? Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. For my strength, he told Paul, is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul needed to understand something. That you know, that in his weakest moments, he could just fall at the feet of Jesus and just be like, Lord, I can't do it. I'm tapped out. I'm out of juice. I don't have what it takes to get through this on my own or to overcome or to live with this thing. And when he surrendered to the fact that on his own he couldn't hang, he knew that that's when God would say, hey, Paul, I know you're weak. But I'm super strong. I'm all powerful, so stop striving. Press into me, Jesus would say, and rest in my grace. And you're going to feel power like you have never, ever known. And you're going to know it's me, Paul. And so, when he tells Paul that, he knows, even when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And everyone's going to see that it's him, not me. Now, fast forward with me a little bit, my story, through tons of prayer, lots of bump in my head, through a lot of challenges and hardships over time, over years, God eventually caused me to understand what Paul knew. He brought me to a place where I was finally willing to let him have his way and do his work, right, in my heart, you know, and in my life, according to his will and his plan in his timing, you know what I'm saying? And through the years, God's done this work. God's done a work in and through, you got to catch that, in and through all of the pain, in and through all the frustration, and through the questions that I had that I thought would crush me or hold me back from what God wanted for me. Like, doesn't God want better for my life? I mean, I just struggle. He has made his strength perfect in and through me in my weakness time and time again. I mean, let's be real though, life hurts, right? The world, it's cruel, right? And it's messy, it's jacked up. It takes more than human willpower or, guys, your masculinity, right? Grit, right? We like that word, you know, grit, you know, like, you gotta be tough, be a man, right? Look, man, woman, child, it doesn't matter. It takes more than human strength to make it, to endure. People faint. Right? Hashtag the struggle is real. You know what I'm saying? Pain is inevitable. Heartache's just an inescapable reality if you're a human being. Now, I'm not saying you're going to live your life that way, but when it happens, the joy of the Lord is eternal. Right? The things we go through here in this life, not to minimize anything, but it is temporary. We've got to keep our focus on the fact that this ain't the end of the story. Right? And if we find our grace and our strength in Jesus, we can have the joy of the Lord, his eternal peace that surpasses all understanding through knowing him. It is knowing him that makes life and all of its ups, downs, twists, turns, lefts, rights, whatever, ins, out, struggles, pains, bearable, possible to endure. Knowing him is what makes me grateful for, you know, all that he is and all that he's given me, all that he says I am in him, right? And all that he promises to do and to bring in the future. Psalm 103, the first few verses says this: bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When I say, Lord, I'm struggling, he comes to my rescue. Jesus, I feel weak. He pours his strength by his grace into me. God, I can't go on another second. He renews my vitality. Right? Father, I'm empty. He fills my tank, however you want to put it. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 23. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. I just read to you, bless the Lord, O my soul. Never forget his grace. Never forget his marvelous works. Never forget his promises. The New Living Translation says it this way: praise the Lord, I tell myself. Look at that. The Bible just said it's okay to talk to yourself. Praise the Lord, I tell myself. Don't trip. So all you knuckleheads, I know who you are. It's all right. It's cool. You're in good company. I do it too. Remind yourself of God's word if you have to. You're alone. Shout it out loud if you have to. Remind yourself of the word of God, alive and powerful. God's grace, sufficient, he told Paul, for your every need. God's strength, I love how Jeremiah says, like a mighty warrior. The cross of Christ on your behalf. Remember, carrying every weight for you and nailing it to that old rugged cross, as we say at Calvary, right? In the day of adversity, I can stand. I can stand. I can walk. I can run without fainting or growing weary, because his strength is everlasting. His strength is mighty. His love is a conquering love. The love of Jesus has conquered, I say, this broken heart. He's conquered this broken heart. This weak, stubborn heart, replacing the brokenness with the joy of my salvation in him. And the intimacy that I have with him in my most painful times is priceless. You can't put a price tag on it. And just for today, just for right now, even in this very moment, as we're here together, just today, in this moment, in this day of adversity, I can sincerely thank him. I can thank him for the strength and the joy that I find in his name. I just say, Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. I don't have to have all this crazy theology all polished and intact. It's just Jesus. I find strength in his name. So I have some encouragement for those of us today who know the Lord. And you're like, you know, what? Why are you? I know all this already, Mike. Like, what's the deal? Psalm 27, 13, 14, and 14 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait for what? You might be like, what am I waiting for, right? There's a verse in Jeremiah 29 that often gets quoted apart from its context. You guys probably know it if I start to say it. Jeremiah 29, 11, I can say the address and you know what's up, right? For I know the plans, the thoughts I have toward you, says the Lord, right? There are plans for good, right? Not of evil. To give you a what? A future and a hope. That's a promise, right? But it's out of context. Listen to what verse 10 says, right? The New Living Translation says, this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. And I will bring you home again. They were in the midst of, they were about to be judged for a lot of years of disobedience. They didn't let the land rest every seventh year for 490 years. 490 divided by 7 is 70, right? He was going to send them into captivity in a foreign land for 70 years, and he's in the midst of pronouncing all the stuff that's going to happen. And right in the middle of it, he says, but look, I know the plans I have for you. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil. I'm going to give you still got a future. You still got a hope because I'm still your God. In the midst of pronouncing judgment, God's saying, he's pouring out mercy. Look, it's not the end of the story. Right? Now, for some of you, it's the day of adversity today. It's your season of trouble, right? It's a life of hardship and pain, maybe. Whatever, you know, it is, whether it's of your own making or it's, you know, from your own failures, you know, your shortcomings, your poor choices, or it's just been one tough break after another. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, you just dealt a bad hand, one heartache or one tragedy after another. Maybe you've suffered loss. You're grieving, you know, you've got trauma. I don't know your story, but maybe the world's just treating you poorly, you know, and hurting you badly. And so what do? You dump back, you hurt back, right? You ain't gonna keep me down, haters. You know, it's almost like we do a preemptive strike. We think people are gonna jack us up, so we hit them first. The program says we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. And then we go, what's happening? I don't know. Maybe it's all of the above. Maybe it's your pride causing you to hide the pain, to hide your weakness, tuck it away. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. We stuff it down. We put on a mask. You try to pretend you're stronger than you really are, right? We got to talk about this stuff, you guys. I got people looking at me like, dude, like, why are you even going there? Like, we got to talk about this stuff, okay? We got to bring it out. God's waiting for us to allow ourselves just a little bit of vulnerability, okay? To you know, invite the wonderful counselor in to our situation, to invite the true healer in. Because I got to tell you, if it ain't safe to drop the mask in his presence on a Sunday morning, where the heck is it? Safe. We just read that he forgives all your iniquities. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's the God we're coming to with our junk. See, we need God's mercy. We need his loving kindness because he's holy and we're sinful. We know that sin separates us from God until we come to Jesus. The Bible says his hand or his arm isn't short, that he can't save, you know, his ear isn't stopped up, that he doesn't hear your prayers, but that your sins have separated you from your God. But in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He who never knew any sin was made the sin offering for us, so that we might be righteous in God's sight through faith in him. It's nothing we do. We can't forget the gospel. We cannot forget. Struggling Christian, look, when we believed in him, this is what happened to us. He made us righteous and he made us new. He gave us his life. Jesus was hanging on that cross instead of you. Jesus died on that cross instead of me. Okay? We should have been on that cross paying for our own sins, but we're spotted. We're blemished. We are not an acceptable sacrifice. The Bible says, without the shedding of innocent blood, there's no remission of sins. Jesus was completely innocent, completely without sin, and he willingly and obediently went to the cross to be the substitute for you and I. He gave himself for you, for me. God in Christ was reconciling the world to himself through the cross, the Bible says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, hallelujah, proving that he was the acceptable sacrifice for your sins and for my sins, and that he has the power over sin, death, hell, the grave, and Satan himself. You're going to get another hallelujah. When, that was weak. Jesus has the power over sin, death, hell, the grave, Satan himself, everything you're facing today. Why am I preaching the gospel to the most gospel-centered church I know? Why am I doing that? Knowing that most of you know the Lord, I think. I'm looking out here. I don't know where some of you are at. I know most of you. A room full of Christians or a park full of Christians, you know? Why am I doing that? Because the cross is what's most important for us to keep in mind. It's important that we keep the cross in view. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. That word death means eternal separation from God in torment and outer darkness, where the Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't like to preach this stuff, but people will be in hell with memory, with regrets, with remembering every chance they had to give their life to Jesus, and every time they said no and rejected him, and it'll be too late. It'll be too late. He's a holy God who must judge sin, or he wouldn't be righteous. He wouldn't be a just and fair judge. But you know, you want to talk about what's fair? Was it fair for Jesus to die on the cross for your sins? For my sins? He did it for you, though. He did it for me because he loves us. He wants you and I to be with him forever. Now, if you're not sure you're saved, let me encourage you. Jesus is alive today. And he stands with his arms wide open. He's ready to forgive you. He's ready to receive you. Ready to welcome you home into the Father's arms. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed on his name. If you come to Christ today, listen, repent of your sins. That word repent means to just change your mind about sin. Agree with God that you need his forgiveness. Come to Christ, then turn from your sin, turn to Christ, and receive the free gift of forgiveness and salvation by faith, the gift of eternal life. You'll be with the Lord forever in heaven when your life on earth is over. Believe the gospel. That is good, really good news. It's the best news. That someone was perfect in your place. And in my place, because God loves you enough to make sure that there's a way to be reconciled to him, to never be separated from him again by anything. He paid the ultimate price. His love's beyond comprehension. I can't even wrap my mind around it completely. And this love, this gift, right, it's too good not to receive. And the promise to be with you in this life, right? Through it, the psalmist said, I would have lost heart. We just mentioned that. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Did you catch that? in the land of the living. That means, believers, listen, that it means that although you will walk through adversity, you there will be times when your heart feels like it's going to fail you. There's going to be times where your mind, your emotions, and the weight of the things that happen in life, the things you carry around, they're going to feel unbearable. They're going to seem never ending. They're going to be those times. Maybe you're there now. But when in those moments, in those days of adversity, you turn to the Lord, you pray, you turn to His Word, and let His Word and His Spirit give you counsel, right? And you turn to your brothers and sisters here in Christ. You call one of us. You get with a mentor or a leader. You plug into fellowship. You hold yourself accountable, right? Saying, hey, guys, I suck at life. I need a little help over here. I need some prayer. You know, pray for me. What does the Word of God say about this thing I'm suffering from? What does the Bible say about this struggle I'm currently in? You know, this step I'm about to take, this sin I'm hiding or grappling with, this pain and heartache I feel. What does the Word of God say about this challenge in my marriage, this rebellious stage my kid is going through right now? What do we do with this? I lost my job. What does God say? This illness I've just been diagnosed with, help me. I need perspective here. Turn to a friend. Proverbs 17:17 says, some of you can probably finish this for me. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. When you go to the Word of God in prayer and you get in fellowship for that perspective, wisdom, and for comfort and for strength, you're going to find yourself empowered by God Himself to not faint. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The Bible says they'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Right? So, because when we're weak, when our strength is small, His strength is mighty. I love using that word to describe God. Mighty. He is strong. He is strength. Now, I used to numb it all, whatever whatever it was, all the stuff in my life, I used to numb it all with whatever I could get my hands on. Right? It doesn't work. I'm here to tell you, it provides a little temporary relief, but the issues are still there. Now, maybe it's different for you. You don't turn to a substance or a drink or whatever. Maybe you just try to shake it off or ride it out, you know, until the next wave comes. And sometimes we got to do that. But when you put that mask on, you try to be hard and you try to pretend it's not something you need to work through. When you don't tell somebody about it, guess what? You don't get the counsel you need. Not going to happen. But when you seek Him and invite Him into the mix and you let Him walk you through those challenging, stretching, I call them character shaping times, those trials, those growing pains, you'll see and you'll know by experience that God's love for you, His care for you, His grace and mercy toward us, it's unfailing. He never fails. And He's always the same. He'll lift you up. He'll make a way through it. He'll become your everything if He isn't already. Don't run back to those temporary things of this world that leave you empty, dissatisfied, disappointed, hurt, angry, miserable, lost, alone, and ashamed again. Those things are destroyers, not edifiers. They tear down, not build up. They pull you down. They do not propel you. They pull you back. It's like when somebody's drowning, going down, you know, and you're on the side of the pool and they grab your ankle and pull you in. Like, what? That's kind of what it's like. Those things are poison, designed to kill you and I. Just don't go backwards. Don't go backwards like I did so many times for me it was drugs, alcohol, sex, my own so-called strength. There's nothing there. There's nothing good on that wide road that so many tragically walk through life on. Jesus said leads to destruction. Oh, it promises everything, but how many of you know what it delivers? Nothing, right? It promises everything, delivers nothing. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't run from Him when times get tough. That's the natural tendency. Oh, where is God? He's not there. Well, forget God. Don't do that. Don't dismiss God's presence in it. Don't assume. That is, he's not in it. Don't run from him when times get tough. You know, and you strong, manly men, you know, here, I know a lot of you guys, you know, you tough guys, look at me. Don't rely on your own understanding or your own strength. Don't do it. Don't fool yourself into thinking you got to get through this because, you know, that's what a man does. Don't you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I got to tough it out. I mean, man, you know what I mean? I'm not weak. I'm nobody's punk, like I said earlier. You got to drop that, man. That's pride. That's pride. Your strength is small. It's limited. It's too small for what life's going to throw at you, in case you haven't noticed. There's a lot on your shoulders, husbands, fathers, mothers, single moms, you know, everybody here, kids. There's a lot on your shoulders, and that's why you can't afford to play church. That's why you can't afford to pretend, you know, that you're all right when you're falling apart. We can't do that. Run straight to Jesus, including right now. Today, if you've been running from him, now's your moment. It's time to surrender. It's time to come to Jesus and drop all that weight, you know. Throw it down, you know, just drop it to the ground. Put it at the foot of the cross, man. And finally let him deal with your sin and receive his forgiveness. Embrace his free gift of salvation if you haven't done so yet. Receive it by grace through faith. And please, guys, stop running. Don't run from perfect love anymore. Don't run from perfect love. Why do we do that? I know you're tired. Some of you are exhausted. Give up the fight. The way to victory when you're wrestling with God, Jacob taught us, it's what? You surrender. You tap out. Like when I was a kid, my brother who was much stronger than me, he'd hem me all up, you know, he'd jump on me in the bed, be like, wanna wrestle? Thought so. You know, and he'd like twist me up into a pretzel and everything, and then he'd be like, say uncle, and I'd be like, uncle! I'd just give up, you know, surrender. Just give up the fight. Give up the fight. Fall in God's arms today. You'll never regret it. You'll never be the same either. And if you know Jesus today and you've been wandering from the fold like that wandering sheep, you've been out of fellowship, you haven't been going to church, you know, maybe this is like the first time in a while for some of you come to church. And you're like, this is safe, it's outside in the park, okay, I can dig that, I'll kick it off in the cut. Maybe somebody dragged you here today, they tricked you with, hey, it's free breakfast, come check it out. And you're like, oh, okay, I like breakfast, you know, or the barbecue, today we're having a barbecue, you know, you're like, I like food, yeah, I'll go. And now you're hearing this guy going, stop, you know, trying to act like a man when you're weak. You're like, what is this guy saying? Look, maybe you're just here today and God is speaking to you and you haven't held yourself accountable. And it's caused you a lot more problems than you can carry. He's saying that it's time to come home. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another minute. You come back home right now. The Father's arms are open wide. As we sang that earlier. I didn't plan that. That just happened to be a song we sang. Your forgiveness has been paid for. You never stopped being his child. Look at me when I say this. If you're his son or his daughter, he loves you all of the time, no matter what is going on. No matter what you're doing or you're not doing. He loves you all. He's crazy about you all the time. Even at your worst. Even in your weakest moment and in your most miserable failure. Stop fighting the wrong fight. Get back in the good fight of faith. But listen, let bait and switch, tricky thing here. Let him fight those battles for you. Let him do it. Give up the wrong fight. Come to him, surrender. Lord, I'm too weak. Fight for me. Let him flood you with his strength. You cannot do it alone. And you don't have to. He wants to revive you. He wants to refresh you. He wants to help you. God loves you so much. Paul said in Romans 5, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Guess what? You ain't strong enough to save yourself, and you ain't strong enough to get yourself through this life after you're saved either. There's no adversity, and there's no sin that is not covered in the blood of Jesus. And there is no weakness or trial that the Holy Spirit, who raised Christ from the dead, can't redeem and give life to your mortal bodies, like the Word says, and raise you out of today, right now. But the most important thing that you need to receive today is forgiveness. at the cross. You and I, we all need that. One more word and we'll wrap it up. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the, there it is again, the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But, check this out, may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, what? We don't like that part. The God of all grace, we love that part, called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He says, after you've suffered a little while, may this God of all grace perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. 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 I'm done hearing myself talk. Let's pray. Father, you're so good to us. Lord, your gospel is so raw. It's so real. It's so sobering. We almost don't know what to do with it, Lord, that we're helpless without you. We were without strength to redeem ourselves, to save ourselves, to strengthen ourselves, Lord, to get through the things that life throws at us, let alone to save us from eternity without you. Lord, we're so thankful that you reached all the way down. You did the mightiest thing anyone's ever done, the manliest thing that's ever been done by any man. You emptied yourself, made yourself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, and you became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And we're so thankful that you did that, Lord, in our place, and that you promised, Lord, to strengthen us in our inner man. Lord, you promised to be with us through the fires, Lord, to walk with us through everything. You promised us the fire won't burn us, the waters won't overtake us. You promise, Lord, that you know where you're taking us, Lord. That you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. But Lord, the life gets tough, and some of us today, we're just out of gas. Some of us today, Lord, are trying in our own strength to make ourselves right with you, Lord, to reach you by our good works, and we've got none. We've got nothing to bring to the table. We need your grace. And some of us have been wrestling with things, Lord, trying to be strong enough to get through things. We've been faking the funk. We've been pretending with our families, our church, whatever. And we're about to break, Lord. And we need you. We cry out to you today. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my strivings, Lord. Forgive me for trying to do this without you. Forgive me for thinking that I could save myself from my sin or from this, the struggles of my life. Lord, thank you that your grace is sufficient for me, for your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Lord, pour that grace into me. I cry out for mercy. Lord, I love how I heard this morning. I was reminded, Lord, that the psalmist said, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Lord, let us tell our souls, praise the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Lord, you are mighty, you are awesome, you are full of majesty and splendor and might and power and grace. Lord, let us stop running from your perfect love today, no matter where we're at, Lord. If anybody's here that doesn't know you, Lord, that hasn't asked for forgiveness, I pray they do that today, Lord. I pray that if anybody's here that's been trying to get through this thing, Lord, this walk with you, Lord, without abiding in you, without turning to you, without seeking you for that strength that they need, Lord, that they would drop the mask today and just cry out and say, I can't do it. Lord, please help. And I pray that every single one of us, Lord, find that level ground at the cross. Mm-hmm. Lord, and we know that we're safe to do this here. Lord, we would get prayer. We would get involved in each other's lives, Lord, because we need each other. We're so thankful that we have each other, but most of all that we have you. That anyone that comes to you, you'll in no way cast out. You won't turn them away. So we all come to you this morning, Lord, myself included. And I say, help. You are my helper, Lord. You're the lifter of my head. Mm-hmm. You're my strength and my redeemer. You're my everything. I never want to try to go another minute without walking this life out in your strength, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we're going to have a couple of questions after the song. I'll come back up and I'll give you the discussion questions. But let's worship. And if you need prayer, turn to each other and pray for one another. Can we get real for a second? I have three questions. Your group leaders have the questions, but we don't have to get through all three of them. But I'm just going to rattle them off to you right now, even though there should be somebody sitting at your table that has these questions. But the one that I started with was this. Where or how do you find strength and hope in difficult times? And how can you trust the Lord to give you grace? That's a two-part question. That's question number two. And that was the one I started with. But there's a couple more. What part of your journey or your walk with Jesus makes or has made you feel like you might faint? Okay, and then the second one, where or how do you find strength and hope in difficult times? How can you trust the Lord to give you grace? And three, how has God's grace been sufficient for you in times of weakness? How has God's grace been sufficient for you in times of weakness? Now, I'm going to leave it up to the Holy Spirit and your group leaders to decide whether you're going to go through all three of them or you're going to tag one of them. But turn to each other. Talk about it amongst each other. If you have kids, maybe we can get the kids now. I don't know how much time we have. But let's talk about this real walk, this real struggle, this real life stuff, and this real God that meets us in it if we just ask. Amen? And I also wanted to say, I feel like I need to ask if there's anybody here that needs to do some business with God, that we're going to be up here to, I'll be up here to pray for you. If you want to come and you receive Jesus, you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or you've been out for a while kind of floundering around and you need to come back, you need to come home, you can do that in your groups, but I want to offer myself to pray with somebody who needs it, okay? All right, God bless you guys.
We here at Refuge Long Beach want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this study. We pray you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated to stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this study will have prompted you to follow Him. Refuge Long Beach is a church plant by New Breed Church Planting. New Breed is a church planting network encompassing teaching, coaching, and support founded by Pastor Peyton Jones. New Breed Church Planting exists to reach the unchurched in the style of Paul and the New Testament apostles. For more information and to contact this ministry, please go to newbreedchurchplanting.com. Thank you again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at one of our services.